Good evening. Welcome to The Conk. The Conk is Gainesville's storytelling project. It is hosted here at Lightning Salvage on the second Tuesday of every month, and the audience members tell stories on a theme, and this month's theme is first dates. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So, as of now, we don't have anyone signed up to tell our first story, so if you'd like to break the ice, come on up.
No one's been on a date ever.
Man, that's sad. That is weird. A crowd full of non-daters. I tried to make it into a story, and it didn't really work out. Basically, my, like, weirdest first date story is just that my current boyfriend, I went over to his house for the first time we were going to hang out, and he and his brother were watching The Passion of the Christ. So we kind of pretended to watch that for a little while, and then realized that it was incredibly awkward, and then we left and did something more exciting, so... I think some of my friends were getting together, and we had a lot of mutual friends, so both of our friends, and it was like a little pool party or something, and it was not, I don't remember the rest of the night, I just, you know, I don't even remember that much. I remember standing on the side of the pool, and like realizing that everybody else was talking about like, oh my gosh, are they like dating? Because it's the same circle of friends, but nobody really knew yet. I don't remember whether we swam or not. All right, well, Jordan had said that he would save me if this happened, so I'm going to switch places with him really quick. Welcome, Jordan, your bartender, everyone.
All right, thank you. So, first date, to kind of set the scene, I never really dated, like, gone on an official date or anything like that. It's just, I mean, I think a lot of people are that way. It's not really their style anymore. It's kind of an outmoded sort of a form, but... I was in a very dark place just after I had graduated from high school, and I had made the mistake of moving in with my buddy in the at the college we were going to, like, 2 weeks after I graduated. So I had the whole summer without any classes or anything to do, and my buddy had started to date a stripper, and she would bring home lots of money every night, and it was generally late at night, and she would also bring a big handle of whiskey. And the three of us would just, you know, we would just drink and have a good time. And, you know, I had zero responsibilities. I didn't have to go to college yet. And I was lucky enough, my parents were like, well, you know, you got a scholarship to do the college thing, so we'll pay for your room and board while you're there. And I was like, oh, this is great. And boy, was it. It was really fun. But I was not really, especially right at the end of summer before classes started, I was not the kind of person that any normal... even a normal person would want to be around with. I had basically been solidly drunk for 2 months. My sweat smelled like whiskey, you know, and it was, I wasn't fond of bathing to begin with, and it just got worse from there. And laundry was really far away. Like, we had to go two doors down to the laundry room, and we had to get quarters, and it was just, it was a real problem. So anyway, that's the stage. That's where I was at. And this girl who moved in with us, who was my boyfriend's girlfriend, or my roommate's girlfriend, the stripper. We'll just call her the stripper from now on. she was like, oh, she noticed that I hadn't really had a girlfriend or anything like that, or even met a girl, and she felt bad for me. And she's like, there's this girl I work with who's perfect for you. And later, I would wonder why she thought this person was perfect for me after having this awful date. I just don't even know. But so I was like, okay, great, because, you know, I was pretty starved for female company at that time. And I was like, all right, sure. So she set it up. She was the go-between, and we decided that we were going to meet at a billiards hall that was, you know, comfortable with this girl who was also a stripper. But, I mean, that's not a big deal. Like, you know, it's fine. So we get to this billiards hall, and she's already sitting next to another guy at a booth talking to him. And, like, he's sitting on the same side of the booth as her. It's not across, like, they're friends. He's sitting on the same side. I'm like, all right, this is not going to go well. So he introduces himself and leaves politely, which I was surprised at. I was like, okay, well, maybe this is going to work out. And so I sit down across from her, and we talk a moment, get a beer. And I said, well, you want to play a game of pool? And she goes, oh, I don't like to play pool. Well, why did we meet here? What do you want to do? And she's like, well, I don't know. And as we're kind of discussing what we might do, and I'm throwing out, like, I don't know, I'm on a date, right? So I'm thinking, like, we can go to a movie, we can walk at a park or the beach, maybe. The beach was nearby. And she was just sort of, yeah, I don't like to do that. Real flat, real just, I'm not even sure what was going on. But then before I was able to just go, all right, this is not going to work and I'm out of here, a customer of hers came up who recognized her and was like, hey, he was older. He was a little, he was middle-aged and incredibly rich, or at least it seemed to be so. And he had just rented a limo and invited the pair of us to go on this limo ride with him down to Ybor City. This is in Tampa, and Ybor City is the place where all the parties happen. And so she's like, oh yeah, great. And I'm like, is this a good idea? I'm thinking to myself. I was like, but it perked her up. And so maybe she likes to dance, and I, you know, we'll go out dancing. Great. Okay, sure. A limo ride. Awesome. And so we get in the car with these two dudes who, like, I don't even know. And we pull out of the parking lot, leaving my car behind. And I've got to pee. And I've got to pee so bad. And we are in some traffic. And it gets to the point where I just quietly go and put the little privacy window down, and I say, hey, dude, to the driver. I'm like, hey, dude, can you just pull over on the side of the road? I got to take a whiz. And so we just pull over. He's like, yeah, sure. Like, it's no problem for him. We pull over on the side of the road. They're like, what are we doing? And I was like, oh, I got to take a piss. And they're like, okay, great. And so we're all out there on the side of the road urinating and, like, on I-275 or whatever it is on the verge there. And we all get back in and we go to this club. And so we get to the club, we get in, I buy the girl a drink, and I'm like, well, you want to dance? And she goes, no, I don't like to dance. And I'm just, I mean, I'm really at my wit's end, and I was just like, well, fine, I'm going to dance. And I get another drink and a shot, and off I go to dance. And she's there, like, looking at me for a little bit, and after the one dance by myself, I come back over to her, and she's like, there's a dress shop across the street. It sells, like, party clothes and stuff. And I'm going to go over there. I was like, well, do you want me to go with you? And she's like, I guess. You don't have to. I don't understand what this person was even doing here, you know? Like, she was just committed to not having fun. So, anyway, long story short is I went over there for a little bit, got bored, went back into the club, and the guys were like, hey, we're leaving. And I said, all right, well, let me get this girl and we'll get out of here. I go back over to the dress shop, and she's not there. And it's not very big. I mean, it's real small, so there's no missing her. And I go back into the club, and I can't see her there. And they're just like, well, listen, if you want to get to your car, you need to just go with us now because we're not going to, you know, we're out of here and you don't have a ride home. And I was like, yeah, but I can't leave this girl. And they're like, oh, I'm sure she just found someone else. Like, they had, you know, they had seen this happen a million times and probably had. And so I was just like, okay, fine. So I rode home in silence with these two dudes in a limo. And that was my first and only, like, actual date. And that's why I don't go on dates anymore. But I'm married now, so it's totally fine. I don't need to. But anyway, there it is. Thank you. Who's next? That's the real question.
Thanks, Jordan. All right. All right. Introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Ivor, and I'm only getting up here because no one else seems to be. It's going to be pretty brief compared to Jordan's. I'm just warning you ahead of time. So when we were discussing dates tonight at the table over here, one of the things that I realized about myself was the few actual dates I've ever gone on in my life, they pretty much resulted in kind of a boring outcome because I didn't know them. So the likelihood that they were, you know, there was some kind of sifting was not very high. And anyway, it didn't turn out that well. But there was one exception where it was kind of interesting and a little bit strange. So when I was in my 20s after college, I worked on this resort island off the coast of Massachusetts called Martha's Vineyard. Some of you have heard of it. And this is a place where there's just lots of young, pretty people, and there's a lot of dating going on. But, you know, that's not something I was used to doing at all, because everybody I had dated in my life was somebody I knew well, or, you know, it was friends of friends, that sort of thing. So I met this person, and I was like, wow, she's really exciting. And we went out on this first date, and I was thinking, man, this is working out really well. She was very attractive, super funny, interesting, and we, you know, things were going great, and then things were going really well, and I thought to myself, wow, this is incredible, and then she says to me, so my boyfriend is here, and I was like, well, what do you mean by here? And remember, this is Martha's Vineyard. It's an island, and the only way you can get over there is either by flying in or you take a ferry. And she says, well, he's actually over in, he's on Cape Cod. He's, you know, he hasn't taken the ferry over yet. And I was like, well, this is a little strange. So why are we on this date then? And I said, you know, you got to explain this to me. So everything sort of screeches to a halt. And we're talking about this, and she says, well, you know, he really wanted to come visit me. I told him not to. To give you a little bit of backstory, she's this woman, she was from L.A., and she was there, like a lot of young people on this island, they're there, like, as either assistants or, you know, they're taking care of kids for these rich families. This is what she was doing. She was an assistant to, like, a screenplay writer for the summer. And so her boyfriend was in Los Angeles, where she normally lived, and he was coming to visit, and she didn't want him to, but she maybe never really told him not to come. I don't know. But one way or another, this guy is like, he's here across the water, and he's coming the next day. And I'm thinking to myself, you're asking me for advice on what to do about this? This is really strange. But because she did. She's like, what should I do? And I was like, well, I'm a little biased in this situation, don't you think? Meanwhile, I'm imagining, oh, God, this guy's probably like 6'5" and, you know, some, I don't know, Dolph Lundgren-type character. Anyway, to make a long story short, that was pretty much the end of it, even though it was, you know, exciting to begin with. And we became friends after that, and it was, you know, I just said, you know, this is really, I was trying to put myself in his shoes, and I said, you know, this is really awkward. I think that you should maybe try to at least, you know, the guy came all this way, try to figure it out. And so that's what she did. And we kind of stayed in touch. And later on that year, maybe even the year after, you know, we were just friends and we would talk periodically. The little bit of background I didn't give is that she was like a stand-up comic in L.A. And she's like, hey, I got this gig. I got a TV show gig or whatever they call it. I got a new job, and I said, well, that's great. What is it? And she says to me, well, the Oxygen Network has created this show. It's called Girls Behaving Badly. And I said, that's the funniest thing you've ever said. And she said many funny things, but that was the end of it. So that's my story.
Thank you. So I'll take this moment to let you all know that the conch is... Oh, okay. All right. the conch is a production of Grow Radio, and we always like to thank Satchels and Lightning Salvage for letting us fill their second Tuesday night of the month. So, thanks, Satchels. All right. And we also have, is it Laura? Kara, I'm sorry. Kara is going to tell the next story about a first date.
Okay, so my first date happened a little earlier in life at the ripe age of 13 in eighth grade. So I went to middle school. I changed schools from elementary to new middle school. I went to private school, so like that was weird. And so I was new, and in sixth grade, I met this boy. And then we were kind of a thing from sixth to eighth grade, and like that was really cool. And I decided that second semester of my eighth grade year, I needed to break things off with, his name is Alex, because I needed to find myself before high school, and I couldn't do that if, with Alex, like, weighing me down. So I told him that, like, you know, it's for the better, we will grow from this. Yeah, so I broke things off, and he was, like, kind of bummed, and I, like, as a 13-year-old girl, I was like, yeah, be bummed. Yeah, you, yeah. And, like, Alex was bummed, but then, like, 2 weeks later, he found a new little girl in our grade that he could spend his recesses with. And, I didn't, you know, never let him see a sweat. Like, so I was like, yeah, good for you. Because we were still friends. We still sat next to each other and things, so I had to be, like, cordial. Like, so I was, like, cool with it. I was like, yeah, she's awesome. But, actually, fun fact, I go to Florida, and, like, she goes to Florida now, too. So, like, I decided that the best move for me was to find a rebound. Like, I'm in eighth grade. I needed a rebound. And, and it needed to be better. I needed to demonstrate that I could find somebody who was cooler than Alex and was, like, more valuable to me. So I started recruitment for this poor boy at my youth group, where you should find all your next, you know, people you're basically using to make people jealous. That's where you should find them. Vulnerable, very vulnerable to this. So I got his number, and I got him to, you know, have a crush on me, and I had, like, not really any interest in this boy, but he was a freshman in high school, so yeah, like, ooh, yeah, that was good, and I would tell Alex, I was like, yeah, I mean, it's, like, not a big deal, like, he's a freshman, he's 14, so Jacob was his name. He asked me, like, oh, let's go hang out, like, a normal, like, you know, girl liking boy situation. Let's go to the movies. It's like, yeah, let me bring my three friends with me, because I couldn't go. Well, I was allowed to go to the movies by myself, but I didn't want to, because I wanted my friends to be there so they could, you know, back me up, because I didn't want to just spend time with this guy. Like, I didn't like him, so I figured it wouldn't be that bad if I had, you know, three friends with me. So there was this one boy and a total of four girls with him at the movies, and I let him pick the movie because, you know, let him do all the work. So he picked Dance Flick. I don't know if you've ever heard of this godforsaken movie, but it's like one of those parody movies, like Scary Movie. It was horrendous. And for some ungodly reason, this movie was sold out, or it was almost sold out to the point they're still selling tickets, but none of them were next to each other. So my friends scattered, and Jacob and I sat in the aisle on the stairs. And not only was this movie horrible, but I was, like, watching it like this, and it was just horrible. And for some reason, boys of this age like to carry around drawstring Nike bags. So he had one of those on, and then, like, it got his – he tried to put his arm around me, but it got tangled in his little purse, man purse thing. So that was horrible. And this movie theater was connected to the mall. So we figured after the movie, we would, like, you know, walk around the mall and, like, chat. And since we were very not compatible, so none of our store interests, like, really, like, came together. So we ended up just walking laps around the mall, just, like, chit-chatting and, like, holding hands, but in a way, like, we were barely touching, because I was just like, ugh. And, like, I just knew that we were not going to be anything ever. And it probably was when he said one of his hobbies was maps. Like, maps were his hobby. And I was like, what do you do with them? He's like, I study them. And, like, that's weird. So we ended up parking at, like, Chick-fil-A and, like, you know, sitting down and eating some Chick-fil-A. And he was going on about whatever. I hardly listening. Oh, my friends had, like, run off and done their own thing by this time. And he's talking. And then he says, Kara, would you like to be my girlfriend? Something along those lines. I was like, oh, my God. Like, nuggets in my mouth. Like, not going to answer. And I came to the conclusion that I should say what every middle schooler says when they want to get out of something. I said, let me ask my mom. Thank you.
I was not expecting that ending. Thank you, Kara. All right, so first dates, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Who's next? Hooray!
Okay, my name is Carol. This is not a first date story. I didn't know it was the theme and had decided on what story I was going to tell when I knew it was Valentine's Day, so it's a relationship story. So this story takes place 30 years ago when I had a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And we were living in Cameroon. And if you don't know where Cameroon is in Africa, it's, you know, you're using the old ham thing. You put out your hand and it was over here next to Nigeria. And we were there because my husband had a job with USAID, which is Agency for International Development. So he was a consultant, and he was one of the U.S. team helping them develop a land-grant university. So I was happy to be there. Well, I was happy to be there after a while, because in the first few months I was very worried about getting sick, but because, you know, of all the reputation, you know, malaria and cholera and everything, and we had had all our shots and all that. But after a while, I realized that if we took precautions and we were lucky, we'd be okay, because I had these small children. So after a while, I relaxed. And actually, it was really a nice place to be when you were a mother with small children, because, as you know, small children take up a lot of time and effort, and you always have to be watching them. And here I was in a place where we were encouraged to hire people to help us because, spread the money around. And so first thing I did was hire a cook, housekeeper, and his name was Fabian. And Fabian, as it is usual and in that culture, he had a lot of wives. And we heard about them often, especially when he wanted advances on his salary. So if Avin would give us a hard luck story, and we'd give an advance or something, and that would help him buy. So something that then happened later was that the Cameroonians came to me and said, we know you're a librarian. And there was an American librarian attached to the project, but she was going on a year's leave. So they said to me, do you want to just, you know, watch over the library or, you know, take care of the library while she's gone? And I said, yeah, sure. I didn't expect this. So they hired me to do part-time work at the library. And I was very happy because it's kind of when you've got all the housework done and also I had hired a Cameroonian babysitter to watch my kids at night, and so everything was taken care of, but then you have not much to do there because it's a small kind of isolated town. So, except socialize. There was a lot of dancing and drinking and stuff. But I was happy to have a job. So I started working in the library, but then, you know, being an anxious parent, these days you would call a mom like me a helicoptering or a hovering parent, where you say, oh, I got to do the best for my kids. I got to do everything, you know, develop their language and expose them to new things and do creative playtimes and explore the environment and everything. And I thought, oh, well, if my Cameroonian babysitter watches them all that time, they won't get a full learning experience like I would give them. So I thought, well, you know, I could hire somebody else who was there. And there was a woman, the wife of another consultant, who was there without children, without anything to do, and she was gung-ho to watch my kids. So I said, well, okay, you watch them 20 hours a week. I'll work those 20 hours of the week in the library, and it'll work out for both of us because I was going to give her half my salary. That was not much, but it was a Cameroonian salary, but certainly plenty enough to eat on and do well by. So she was happy. So she would go forth and give them exciting adventures. She would go down to the market. And I had brought with me for the one-year-old one of those backpack apparatuses where you put the toddler in the backpack and the toddler can look around. And it's made of aluminum. It looks like a backpack. Well, that's what we used 30 years ago anyway. And every time we went down to the market, an African market, you have all the women out there selling things. The women would think it was hysterical because they just use a piece of cloth and they put the baby on the back and then they wrap the cloth around you and they knot it up. And it works as well, if not better, than my, you know, fancy backpack gizmo. So she would do that too. I would take them down some days. She would take them down some days. And it went really well, but it wasn't until later that I realized how not everybody understood the situation. We had some Cameroonian students over for a party at our house, and they came in and started talking to us, and they said, we'd like to meet, talk to my husband, we'd like to meet your other wife. and I thought, what? And because it was inconceivable to them that a white American woman would be a babysitter, because they had no experience of that, and they knew the Americans had money, they didn't need to babysit. So why she was walking around with the same two toe-headed boys as I was, the only reason was that she was Martin's other wife. So I don't think my husband has ever had to manage, had the reputation of having two women at the same time at any other time, but maybe I just don't know about it. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Would anyone else? Oh, all right. Sally?
Yes.
Sally, to tell our next first date story.
I have a show on Grow Radio, so I think I'm obligated to talk at the Conk. I think that comes with the volunteering. So my story takes place in a place that is not as exotic as Cameroon. It takes place in New Jersey. So I didn't really date in middle school or high school, mostly because I was kind of fat and awkward and sat in a corner and drew comics, and I still am. So it wasn't until, I had one date in high school, and the guy had an 89 Camaro, and I think you know how that ends. So I didn't really have, you know, go on a real date until college. And so when this guy asked me out, I don't even remember his name. I think it was Josh. He asked me out. He sat by me in biology, but he didn't ask me out in person. He asked me out like in a Facebook message. Should have been the first sign. And I said yes, because it was the first time a guy had really asked me on a date. I was kind of jaded. I was 19 and jaded. And I knew, And I kind of knew that dates didn't go like how they did in movies. You know, I just kind of assumed that that was a completely fictional thing. And there's no, like, there's not any kind of romantic element to it. So I agreed. And first of all, he asked me to drive over to where he lives. And that was about 40 minutes away. And I said, sure, okay, my own car, whatever. And so, you know, second sign, he took me to Applebee's. the second sign that this was not going to go well, he took me to Applebee's. And, you know, we had a pleasant dinner. We had really barely anything in common because he was a theater kid, and I had done a little bit of theater in middle school until I kind of realized that I would rather hide in the corner than be on stage. Still feel that way. So, you know, we didn't really have a whole lot to talk about, but I was like, well, you know, we're kind of both arty people, maybe. And so at the end of the meal, the check comes and he's like, oh, no, I'll get it. I'm like, no, I'll pay for my half. It's okay. You know, I was trying to be nice. We're college kids. We're broke. You don't have to pay for my whole meal. It's like, no, I want to pay for the meal. And it's like, no, here, I went to the waitress. I'm like, oh, yeah, can you, like, split the bill? She's like, okay, sure. So I think he got a little offended. I think he had ideas about the date being traditional kind of date. And I was like, I was just like, no, I'll pay for my dinner. I don't care. And then after that, we went to go see a movie and we're waiting online to buy tickets. And he's like, and he just turns to me, he's like, you're going to buy your own movie ticket, right? And that's kind of when I knew that the date was over, even though he tried to kiss me later on. And I was just kind of like, I have to sit next to you in biology tomorrow. This is going to make it weird. Stop. and yeah, he pretty much never talked to me again.
Thanks, Sally. So if you haven't done this already, the Conk has a Facebook page. We'd love for you to like it. Grow Radio does also. Grow Radio also has a Twitter page. It's not up here, is it? Anyway. This podcast will be posted on growradio.org in the very near future if you'd like to hear these stories again. So, who would like to be next for our first date story? First dates, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I wish I had a cricket sound effect right now. All right.
Okay, hi. So, I'm Rachel. Okay, so my first date isn't that bad in the sense that we're still together, about to have a one-year anniversary. It's super cute, right? Okay, so our first date took place February 12th last year. We're in Gainesville. We both graduated from UF. I'd been working at Jimmy John's because things were rough, and that there's not a lot of jobs where you can drink in the afternoon until, like, as late as you want. That job's worked perfect. You know, 2:30, Salty's open. You go in. It was working out really well, so it was kind of rough. My boss and all my friends, you know, they're kind of whispering. I'd been, like, dating all the boys that worked there, and that's gross because they don't shower, and they're nasty, right? So we go into the bar one day after work's out. It's, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not expecting much. A friend of mine had just moved into this new place, and everyone knew because he used to live across the street from me. So I was aware that he moved, and everyone the whole day was like, Ben, 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 Ben. Oh, we got to get this guy over here. Yeah, let's invite him. So I'm like trashed, early evening. I'm like, okay, whatever. This kid comes to sit next to me. I don't know who he is. Like, I've never seen him in my life. I'm like, he's very average. He's weird. He's talking to me. I'm like, why is this kid talking to me? Like, he looks old. He has a beard. Like, it's so weird. So, like, 2 weeks later, all of my friends are like, did you have a good time at the bar the other day? I was like, what other day, you know? So they're like, no, no, you remember when we invited our friend, you know? He was really cool, right? I was like, I have absolutely no idea who you're talking about. I know some friends there. So I assume they were talking about this other friend that we had, this guy named Phil. Seriously, my friend, she knows him, so it's funny. So I was like, I'm not really interested in. They're like, no, come, like, to this barbecue. It's going to be a really good deal. And I was like, okay. So I go to the barbecue. Once again, I'm nervous. I realize the guy they want to set me up with, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember his face. He's wearing sunglasses the whole time. Like, I couldn't make a good judgment. So I'm really, really scared. My friends are like, just they want it to happen. It's really obvious. So I say, okay, well, I have to go to work that night. So I had to leave. I didn't know what else to do. Like, go in and try to get a drink with him or something. So I go in. I'm like sweating palms. I didn't know what to do. They're like, try to like slip him your number. Do something like that. I was like, okay. I go in and talk to him. It's awful. I don't know what to say. It's getting later. I have to go to work. So I leave my phone number, like, on his banister, because that is, like, the only thing you do, right? You're at this guy's house. You could talk to him. But I write it on a piece of paper, hey, had a great time. Call me. Like, it was really bad, really cheesy. Left it on his banister. That night, like, maybe a few hours later, I get a text message. I'm like, okay, it's going to happen. We determine it's going to happen in the middle of the week. Don't know where to go. All my friends are like, oh, this is where he likes, you know? So they're all telling me where he likes to drink. I recommend, oh, yeah, let's go to this house of beer. Yeah, I've never been there, but I'm pretending like I love it. We go. We're there for a couple of hours. It's awful. Like, I arrive on a bike. I'm sweating. It's not cute. Like, we live in Florida. You know, I looked a mess. And he's just, like, nodding the whole time, like, not really interested. But he's paying for my beer. So I'm like, okay, you know, it could be worse. So another friend texts. She's like, how's it going? Like, do you need help? Do you need support? And I'm like, meet us, please. So we decide we're going to meet somewhere at the midnight. We're at the midnight, and I'm getting really nervous. I don't like him. Not about it. He's really skinny, like a beanpole. Like, he's not cute. I'm not feeling it at all. So he goes to the bathroom. I keep seeing friends, and I keep inviting them to come sit with us. Like, that's how bad it is. So we have a table of, like, 10 or 11 people, right? This guy doesn't know any of them, and I'm just talking to them. I'm, like, grossed out by him. He's awful. So he goes to the bathroom. I'm like, y'all, like, it's going bad. It's poor. Get me out of the situation. They're like, okay, we'll help. We'll do whatever. So he comes back, and they're really mean, and they start saying, oh, I think you should go. Like, you're not welcome here. They're awful to him. So, no, I know. This is when the guilt comes in. They're so mean to him. They say, like, I think you need to go, and he kind of gets the hint, you know? He perseveres, if anything, okay? So we look at each other, and he's like, oh, okay, and we go in for a hug. It's a weird hug. Like, only, like, a small portion of our body touches. So he walks out at midnight, and I realize I have his bike lights because, you know, we were obviously already, like, married because as soon as we met each other, he's like, oh, can you put these in your purse, please? It's like, fine, you know? You get it, right? So, like, right after he leaves, he texts me. He's like, oh, we're going to have to see each other again. Because you still have my bike lights. No, it couldn't be worse. So we arranged that 2 days later. He's like, can you bring my bike lights over to my house and maybe we'll watch a movie? I'm like, yeah. So that was on Valentine's Day. And that's our anniversary because it went down. So.
Thank you, Rachel. So first dates, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That one sounded like it started out kind of ugly and got pretty good. Feel free to fill more than one category. So my second date with the Passion of the Christ guy... It was at Satchel's. And so the deal was his car was in the shop. So he was like, hey, if you come pick me up from work, I'll buy you dinner. And I was like, deal. And then he forgot that Satchel's was cash only. So I picked him up from work and bought dinner. The end. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else has to have a good first date story. Come on. Or dating stories in general. Let's broaden the topic. All right, Rick, everybody. I mean Bill, everybody. I mean Rick, everybody. Okay.
We're on it right now. Oh, how many of you have entered the world of internet dating? One or two? It's been going on a while now, I guess, but it's still pretty new to me, and in the last couple of years, I've tried a few of the different sites, and I don't know what your experiences have been. Mine have been not so great. But it's relevant to tonight, and it's not really a first date story, although I guess it could be. We'll see. Or maybe we won't. I'm on a particular dating site right now, and the only one I'm on. And I started corresponding with this woman. And, you know, when you're reading those profiles, so much is left to the imagination. And if you're a glass half full kind of person, you enter it with hope and potential and, you know, just good feelings. And if you're a glass half empty kind of person, you tend to strike out a lot. I don't know, magic touch. This date's going good. So I start this correspondence with this woman, and she doesn't have a picture of herself, and I do. So she writes me back after, well, I wrote her, and this is after, at least in my experience on internet dating, I send messages out and don't get a lot of responses back. For whatever reason, and your imagination can sort of lead you in that direction too, whether you're going to feel good about yourself or bad about yourself. So this person writes me back, which is nice, and we started a little conversation. And in her response to me, she says, why don't we just start by becoming friends through the messages, because I'm an introvert. And so I said, okay, I can do that. And I said, you know, respectfully with your introversion, I let her know about the event tonight, storytelling night. Seemed like a good opportunity for someone to come out and have a good time. Remain anonymous if they choose to. Spy me if they choose to approach me, they approach me. If they choose not to, they choose not to. And that's the way I left it before I walked out the door this evening. We'll see what happens.
Gutsy, Bill. I've got butterflies. First dates that haven't happened yet. Obviously, I'm desperate. I saw some fingers pointing. Another pseudo first date I went on. We went to see it was the first new James Bond movie, the one with the new actor. I can't remember his name right now. Anyone? No? Okay. Daniel Craig. Yeah, it was the first one with Daniel Craig. And it had been a really long day. There was a football game that day that I had been to. And I never fall asleep in movies at the theater. Totally passed out. And at the same time, another one of my friends, I think it was like a couple of friends came, but it was like obviously a first date. So the guy that was the first date and one of my friends at the same time both like shook me awake and they're like, it's the car chase! It's the car chase! And then there wasn't a car chase. It just, like, it was a car crash, basically. And I fell back asleep. So I'm sure that gave that guy a really great story. I was asleep, though. You'll just get my anecdotes all night in the in-between time. All right. Give her a hand, everybody.
Okay, cool. Hello, I'm Laurel, and I'm dating that guy over there who, like, probably gonna hide. Yep, yeah, he's hiding. when we met, we started talking, I guess. You know, we just communicated through letters for a really long time, and we were long distance and just writing letters to each other. It wasn't really anything at that point. It was just friends communicating through letters, and which I really, it's like, wow, this is really unique. This doesn't really happen. You don't really have lengthy letters that get longer and longer as you go along. That was really interesting. One night, he writes me and says, you know, I've done something uncharacteristically spontaneous, and I have driven to Gainesville. She took a picture of a map from, like, Tampa to Gainesville. And sent it to me. And I was like, this is really weird and cool. It was probably like 11 p.m. We got there at like 1 in the morning. And we just start walking around Gainesville. You know, we're just talking. And then we went to Payne's Prairie. And, you know, kind of like the magical normal night of like, oh, there's stars and we're talking and it's beautiful. You know, it's a great moment. And then we lay down and just you know, enjoy the stars. And I had never really had, like, a first date before. Like, this is the closest I've ever come to a first date. I'd never had, like, the going out to a movie or dinner or anything like that before. And so this was completely new and really magical. We were just savoring the moment. It was really nice. Then we started to hear some howls just in the distance. You know, and they were like, oh, those are coyotes. You know, they're far away. A few minutes go by. They're a lot closer now. And they are getting louder. And there's a lot of them. And we figured out that they're probably surrounding us and just coming closer. We book it. And just we get up and we are like, okay, we're just going to walk away. All of a sudden, we hear this blood-curdling scream of a howl that is probably about 50 feet away from us, and we sprint. We just start sprinting and sprinting to our car, and we swear we feel like we're being chased, and probably weren't. It was probably the hype of the moment, but we were just still sprinting away, and that was our first date. The end.
I'm glad you made it. Thanks so much. First dates. Are those new voices? Can we trick them into telling a story? No? Thank you, Jordan. All right. Is this your side of the story?
She's a much better storyteller than I. No, I'll start off with my first date. As she politely mentioned, I'm a terrible introvert. I sit in my computer all day and just type away. It's good that I'm a web developer. My first date, I don't remember. I was probably 14-ish, at least high school. That was how smooth I was. Could get the ladies when I was in high school. Anyway, and the year was something where whenever Finding Nemo came out. So to ask this girl out, I had no social I just couldn't do it. There was no way. After that little exchange, how could you tell? So I ended up, a friend of mine said, hey, you should ask this girl out. I'm like, nah, I'll just sit in my room, play some StarCraft, because it was cool at the time for an introvert to play some StarCraft. And then he bugged me a little more, and I said, you do it for me. And he did via the AOL Instant Messenger, AIM. And then I started apparently dating this girl via AIM, third person, so we were dating. And then that was it. Then we went to see Finding Nemo with a group of like 8 people. I was the last person in the row of 8 people in high school at the movie theaters. Just a very awkward time for me. And I sat there, our hands like grazed past each other 2 or 3 times. And I thought that was fantastic. And nothing else happens. That was my first date.
Thanks. So first dates. Anyone else? Any more takers? Dang it. Come on, Rain. Okay. I trust you. So in case this is in fact the end, would you like to tell a story about a first date? No? The next conk will be on February... Oh, Rick? Rick, everyone.
Hi there. This is quite clearly in the ugly category, and I want to make sure everybody was done eating before I presented it. So. Have you ever been on a date and didn't know that you're on a date? So that's it's also in that category. I have to keep some of the details out to protect the identity of the person that I ended up on the covert date with. It wasn't in Gainesville, so it's fine. I don't think anyone knows her. I briefly met her through a mutual friend a few times, briefly, and didn't really know much about her. We were at this mutual friend's house and actually started talking. And she told me she was in vet school. And so I said, oh, you know, yeah, that's great. Yeah. And she said, well, do you have any pets? And I said, well, you actually have a dog. And if you remember the tortilla story, same dog, 130-pound Akita, that was what they like to call a single owner dog. And I was a second owner, you know, one owner dog, but I was a second one. So he didn't really like being around people that much. And we had kind of come to a balance in our relationship. But he just didn't like being around people. Otherwise, he was a great dog. And he was just sort of, he was threatened by the presence of other people. So I started telling her about this. And yeah, you know, I had taken him to a trainer and all this. And she said, oh, yeah, it's good. That's working out and everything. And I made the mistake of saying, you know, there's this one other problem. Because sometimes when you meet someone who's a professional, you want to ask, you know, that they might have professional advice. So I said, every once in a while, there's this really foul, musky, oily odor that just out of nowhere. And I really was oblivious to what it was from. And she immediately said, oh, it's not a problem. That's his anal gland that is. Oh, so this is all right. I said, well, okay, well, you're in the vet school. I think I'm going to, you know, because it's really cheap to go to the vet school. I said, I'm going to take him to the vet school. She said, don't worry about it. I'll come over and express it for you. I was like, really? She said, oh, yeah, we learned that the first year. It's no big deal. I do it all the time. I was like, well, all right. And meanwhile, I have no idea that there's any interest or anything. So I was like, all right, well, what are you up to tomorrow afternoon? She's like, oh, no, I'm free. So about 15 minutes before she comes over the next day, our mutual friend calls me and says, hey, you know, she's really interested in you. I said, why didn't you tell me this before? I mean, there's this awkward thing's about to happen where she's going to come over and express my dog. And that's not going to be good. So I hang up the phone. I was like, all right, I got 15 minutes. And I'm like, well, maybe I should clean the house up. And so I, you know, started moving things around. And she comes over and I invite her in and said, well, you know, I think he's doing better. It hasn't happened in a long time, so we probably don't need to worry about it. And you know, it's when he gets his next checkup with his regular vet. And she's like, no, I really want to do it. I brought my gloves. And she pulls out these blue, you know, surgical gloves. Okay. Well, the other thing is, I mentioned this, that he didn't like being around people. I said, so in order to do this, that I'm going to have to put a muzzle on him and hold him while you do this. So we go out in the yard, and I have a 130-pound male Akita in a headlock with a muzzle on while she comes around the back with her blue glove. And, you know, nothing bad's going to happen, right? It's going to work out just fine, which it did in the sense of him being expressed. But at the time the expression took place, it exploded onto her. And she said, "Oh, I think it's in my hair." Did And I look, and in the sunlight, there's this shimmering sheen of So I said, "Yeah, I think it's in your hair. I have some paper towels inside." So we go inside, and she sort of, you know, wipes it off, and it's still there. And at that point, I was like, "All right, this is getting really weird." So, well, you know, do you want to hang out for a while? And she said, "Well, no, I should probably wash this out." And you know, I was starting to smell it at that point. So it was unfortunate. So she left. Immediately called our mutual friend and said, "You won't believe what just happened. This is really bad. What should I do?" He said, "Oh, here's how you salvage it. You know, just go buy some really expensive shampoo and put it in a little gift basket and take it over to her house." Unfortunately, I didn't take her advice, and she handled it quite graciously. And we never went on a date, but we became friends, and that's the end of that. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick. First dates. I'll try one more time. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, well, I won't torture you anymore. It's still a little bit early. We've got a little bit of time left, so I've said this before, but if someone at your table turns to you and starts to tell their story of a first date, cut them off and send them up here and make them tell all of us. Okay. The next conk will be March 11th, so a month from today. And I believe we decided that the theme would be on the job. On the job. So stories of the workplace. Start thinking now, everybody. It's going to be good, I promise. All right. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. This podcast will be up on growradio.org in the very near future. Thanks to Satchels, and have a wonderful evening. Happy February.